we're back on the rule of three. Two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. I'm Tim Slagle, and over on the other end, Mr. Bent Washburn.
Hello, I'm Bent Washburn, still.
And later in the show, we're going to be talking about quite possibly the biggest football nail biter in NFL history that occurred last night.
Yes.
We are also going to be talking about a nail biter in the great state of Hawaii that also occurred. Happy finish for both people in Minnesota and Hawaii. Actually, they were both happy with the finish, the outcome of those
happy endings. Yeah, two, one in paradise and one in a freezing.
Well, some people... New Orleans is not happy. Yeah. It's only Louisiana is disappointed today.
Yeah.
However, the first topic we're going to talk about is the president's unfortunate remark, which
I think that's about the right way to categorize it. It's an unfortunate remark.
I think everybody knows what the remark was. I think there's no reason to repeat it. I think CNN repeated it enough for everyone.
Yeah, that's right.
CNN was like that joke where the two kids decided to swear, and they get up in the morning and see who can swear the most.
Yeah,
one kid goes, "I want some darn pancakes," and then he gets smacked. And they say, "What do you want?" He goes, "Well, I don't want any darn pancakes."
It was almost like that once the president said it over and over. His leadership worked like it's supposed to work, which he does it now. Everybody does it. They followed his lead totally. Constantly, I think it's very offensive for him to say beep. Did they beep any of it out? I didn't see him beeping.
No, they didn't. They just said it. They just figured, well, if he said it, and the thing was, it wasn't even like he said it. I mean, it wasn't even like on the news. It wasn't. There was no recording. It was my understanding. It was Dick Durbin that came right out and says, "Do you know what? The president just said." Little Dick Durbin just came out like a tattletale. Had to be the tattletale to the press.
Yeah, that's part of it to me, is that, I wish the guy would have more decorum, but he doesn't, he just doesn't. And I wish Dick Durbin just wouldn't have said anything. You know, we already know he has no decorum and no tact. We get that. Why are you announcing it? You know what I mean?
I think he said it was because...
Yeah, that kind of thing. It's that kind of high school. Guess what John said about you? Guess what Debbie said about you? She said you're beep, beep. Well, Debbie was talking about her behind her back. Were you supposed? What are you doing?
Of course, what Trump supporters? Well, even did Trump detractors? They can't even be honest about this. Is that? I mean, the countries that he referred to are like that.
That's why you don't call them that, though. That's the same reason you don't call ugly people ugly. I mean, it's something we understand. That even behind your back, you're careful about it. And when you're the president, you're very careful. Well, not him. This one isn't.
Well, yeah, but he looked around. He saw there were no cameras. He saw there were no microphones.
Well, you don't know. Did he look around? I don't think he ever looks around. Ever. I think he has no filter. It's completely broken, and he just
Okay. Now on this, I totally disagree. Because a man who has been sued as many times as Donald Trump is well aware that he has to curb his speech occasionally.
But a man who's been sued and won as many times as Donald Trump starts to think, yeah, what does it matter? I'll win anyway. he has dodged consequences in that the way you can when you have wealth. There's a certain amount of power that you get when you have wealth.
Right, but I think when his attorneys advises him to stop saying something, he will stop saying. I think that is learned behavior. When the attorney says, "Mr. Trump, you can't say anything more on that subject,
or you will go to jail or something,"
or it's going to cost you. Yeah, it's going to cost you $10 million. I think he understands that, and I think if you notice, he is saying very little outside of the fact that there is no collusion. He's saying very little. Saying very little about Russia. Yeah, he's saying very little about that event.
And but outside and the midnight tweet sessions, that too, he goes out of control there. He doesn't say, "I'll just tweet it later." You know what I mean? I'll tweet something offensive later on this. So I'll get back to you at 2 a.m. with something.
No, I disagree. I think his tweets are far more calculated than people think.
What stable genius comment was calculated? I think he just.
Oh no, I didn't say it's stable. I didn't say it's genius. I'm just saying that it's.
He tweeted that.
Yeah, he's right. He said he's a very stable genius.
See what I mean? Yes. I think he is off. Shoot off the hip thing is calculated. He knows that's what his base likes, so he says, "Oh, this is cool. I can say whatever, and it doesn't matter. Okay, then I'm just going to do that because my 20% super uber fan base didn't mean to slip in Uber there. There's no, I didn't have any kind of. I'm not making that comparison. But what I'm saying is, that fan base loves when he's crass and rude. It's like high school. It's like. They like to watch him pick on the liberals and the left. They love it. I mean, there's a real Schadenfreude going on. On both sides of the aisle in this country, there is Schadenfreude. I mean, there's deep hatred on the left for the right and on the right for the left. And they just love that this guy needles these people and doesn't do what – every time he says something that they think is wrong, they just love it.
Yeah, well, it's what it is. It's a rejection of the status quo.
Yeah,
which is I might point out is an American tradition, from the American Revolution through rock and roll through rap music.
That's
the rejection
true.
Of the status quo is a solid American tradition, and it's finally people are relieved to have a president that doesn't play these games. You know, it's politicians have always had two voices. They have the voice that they speak out in public with, and then when they're by themselves, they're just human. They're human beings. They know it's all BS. They know it's politics.
I guess
and people like the fact that it's like finally we don't have to play the game. I wish, and I might have said this before around Thanksgiving. I wish he wouldn't have pardoned the turkeys.
That would have been funny. That's a good
joke. I would love to see, because that is such a stupid tradition.
Fun. It's just a fun, stupid tradition. I think it's purely dumb.
If I were ever elected, what I would do is I would come out on the morning before Thanksgiving and say, you know what? We're going to eat turkey at the White House. There's no reason why these two should be given any sort of special consideration that any other turkey would not. And then I would grab the axe, I would pull out their neck, and I would do it right there, live, on the camera.
Blood squirting everywhere.
Turkeys, headless turkeys running around saying, now, can we be done with this idiocracy here?
I like that you make the president do something stupid like that. It's great. He has to walk up there all dignified and do something dumb. It's great. But I would say – this is what I think you're right, that it is rebellion against that idea of the politician. But it depends on whether you believe whether or not that political thing is good or bad. And I believe it is. I guess I would be one of these people that say, I want you to have tact and decorum, and I like the skill of being able to talk out of two sides of your face. And all those kinds of things that politicians have done. So I guess it just depends on whether or not you feel that's effective or a good thing.
For me, politicians, the way politicians are and the way they behave is like is talking about Santa Claus at high school. What? It just there's no need for it anymore.
Oh, really?
I think in a society where we have the media and the awareness of the reality.
Did you just call awareness? Did you say we have awareness?
Yeah.
No way. We have self-delusion. What? It's like both groups. There is so much confirmation bias going on right now, just fueled by
hate. No, that's not what I'm saying. Is by now we're aware that these people in higher office are human beings, that they're not that they're not sort of this immortal, that once they take the oath of office they get superpowers.
We're
aware that they're human beings,
but
we're not, there's no facade anymore.
I think
in light of that, I think it's time to stop acting like politicians and let's just get it straight.
Let's just put it out there straight. That does not work. Politics is what occurs when you have two different groups that don't agree on everything. And so it's part of the process of working out compromises and keeping a group that's very disparate and separate whole. It's part of the grease that pulls us, they are greasy, and it's part of what keeps us lubricated and kind of working in one direction. As opposed to just falling apart into fights and non-compromise.
I would agree that politics requires lubrication to avoid the pain.
Absolutely. It's like we that as well on tax day for sure. No, that's there's and, no lubrication there. Come on. But I really think
I disagree on that too. There is lubrication, the little deductions you get. It's like, my gosh, I paid $1,000 in medical bills and I can deduct $100 of that from my taxable income. Woohoo! Ooh, yeah. That's going to make it feel easier when I write a $20,000 check.
It doesn't. Man, it doesn't. Does not at all. But anyway, I guess it comes down to basic disagreement. I do feel that he shouldn't. It's a bad thing. His lack of tact is really a huge liability, and other people think it isn't. So, I am tired of this though. People constantly acting like there's some guy that posts nearly every day. This is not normal. Yeah. Well, it is for him, you moron. That's your. Why are you surprised by this still? Stop it. This is normal for him and for our country for at least 4 years. It's normal.
And what is normal for the show is to stop at about 10 minutes.
So we should.
We're back on the Rule of Three. In the final segment, we are going to be talking about what could have possibly been the most exciting game in NFL history. Certainly the most exciting game since Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
And, I might add, I think the only one I've watched since Super Bowl last year.
Big fan. Tim is a big fan. He's always decked out in NFL colors of some sort.
But first, we are going to be talking about a little incident in Hawaii.
Yeah, Was it yesterday?
Well, it doesn't matter. Who knows when I'm going to get this edited and posted. So
that's true.
Last weekend.
In the past. We're not talking about the future here.
For those of you who are not on social media and haven't watched the news yet today, what occurred was people on their phones, which now I guess you get alerts on your phone. I don't have my phone set for alerts. Do you get the alerts?
I don't. Not these kinds of alerts. No.
Well, no, I never got one of those. But a lot of people, they didn't realize that their phone was set to alerts. And the first time that a kid disappeared and everybody's phone went off in a coffee house, there was widespread panic.
Oh, yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah, the Amber Alert thing on the phone. Yeah, I do have that.
There was like a West Wing or something like that episode like that where somebody's on stage at a press conference and all of a sudden a reporter's phone goes off and then another reporter's phone goes off and then they're all going off. Yeah, that wasn't for an alert. That was just for like a news flash item that occurred. And then the person on stage is, it might have been West Wing. What's going on? What just happened? It was
probably
a tense moment. but this, I guess everyone's phone went off at once.
Yeah.
And they were told that a ballistic missile has been launched from North Korea in the direction. Did they say North Korea? Missile.
And here's what exactly they said. Emergency alerts up at the top now. Emergency alert. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. Stop. It doesn't say stop as a period. This is not a drill.
That's okay. That's
This is not a drill.
This is not a drill. Yeah. Holy Toledo. I could not talk about ruining a ruined vacation with no one to sue.
Seriously, who are you going to? You're on the beach in your swimsuit, and then your next thing you're, sunblock is not going to help here.
I think this is good advice to anybody. If you're on vacation, turn off the phone.
No kidding.
Are on vacation. I mean, that is the intention of a vacation. Thinking that you can just have the phone in case there's something important.
In case there's a missile attack from North Korea. You know, just to be on the beach, though, and see those coming. Hey, what's that? You know, to be seeing that coming towards
well,
you.
Well, yeah, but the truth is, what are you going to do?
Well, yeah, exactly.
At that point, what are you going to do? Are you going to grab your phone and head to the nearest airport? And I can't imagine what those airport counters were like.
Well, there's no time. I mean, it's like the missile goes faster than the plane. I assume it goes. Well, it's from North Korea, so who knows? It might have propellers, for all I know.
Yeah, but you might be able to squeeze into that. You might be able to squeeze into that. No, probably not. There's no way you could get past the TSA onto the. But did they have? Well, okay, so you're pounding on Magnum's door. Yeah. And say, can you get TC to fire up the chopper?
You're not going anywhere. You're just gonna die in paradise.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go. Yeah. You can't grab in the car and jump in the car and drive. There's nowhere to go. Oh, so why even be aware of it? Why even, you know?
I don't understand. I don't know what you would do. I guess if you downwind, try to get out of the initial blast range and then be upwind for, I don't know.
It's I'm sure all the locals were actually saying, they're not going to hit this side of the island.
Yeah, they were like, we're fine. They'll hit the other side.
They're gonna hit the tourist side. We'll be fine over here.
The tourists. Maybe it's gonna be nice.
Finally, we'll be able to get
It'll be nice on this island for a while. If it was radioactive, then you could just cheaper vacation out there.
Well, yeah, and that's it's not unusual for radioactive explosions for nuclear explosions in that part of the world.
Yeah,
that's where a lot of the tests.
The actual
Bikini Islands. That's what the Bikini was named after the Bikini Islands. Are you aware of this?
I did not know.
Yeah, after they tested the H bomb on the Bikini Islands, and everyone saw that footage.
They saw that word.
The fashion designers said, "Ooh, we are calling our new swimsuit the Bikini because it's hot."
Really?
It is. Yes, it's exactly.
They watched a nuclear test and said, "Bikini, that's catchy. I like that."
It's
awesome. I love it.
You know, after you go through a world war, you've got a little bit of a sense of humor, about certain things. You have a dark sense of humor.
They were trusting, too, of that whole system. You know, my mom and grandmother, St. George, Utah, they were downwinders of the tests in Nevada. And they were trusting. I had an aunt. Her whole science class there at the local college, the teacher called up, got permission to go watch the test from a, quote, safe distance in Nevada.
Wow.
And the whole class watched, and they all died. They all died of cancer, every one of them. Within 20 years.
Like what age?
In their 40s or 30s. Huh. All of them dead. And there was a sheep rancher down there that, called up the government. Hey, my wife and I, we have a lot of these burns. Our sheep, a lot of them are dead, and they have no wool. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing. And the government, they fought reimbursing them for years. My grandma had a picture in People magazine holding up a picture of her daughter, and they were called downwinders, and they just wouldn't settle the lawsuits. They just kept saying, well, there's no definitive proof, So we were more trusting. I think, until some of these started to kick in, and then Vietnam, and then people started thinking, we need to trust this a little less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was the war, our participation in the war was considered a benevolent effort.
Yeah.
And Roosevelt had fostered the idea of a benevolent government. You know, he kind of played this lovable grandfather through the Depression that was there to help all the people.
They were all convinced
that it happened, that everything that happened
was
from the stock market crash on was the work of a benevolent government. So why would they?
But it's like we swung all the way over to that other place. I think you kind of have to. Government has to be involved, I think, actually a little bit more in that. But in promoting or telling people what it's actually doing, like being proactive. Because if they don't, there's this side that will assume they're doing nothing. And there's the other side that assume, you know, they're do only
good. They're up to no good.
Yeah. And that's not right either. It's not just that they're evil. That's what I'm saying is. But in this case, in Hawaii, big snafu. 38 minutes, by the way. That's how long it took them to get out to everybody and let them know. False alarm. 38 minutes.
Wow.
That's a long time to sit there. Is this real?
Listening to people screaming and wailing.
Yeah, and then not. When I haven't heard any noises yet. I bet everybody was protected from full panic by a sense of disbelief. Like, really? Seriously? You know? Would you have been really believing it? I really would have had serious doubts. The whole time I'd been kind of rolling my eyes. Right. Yeah, the Korean, sure. North Korea did this. No, they didn't.
Well, I'm kind of the opinion that we can shoot those down.
Oh yeah.
That we don't admit we can shoot them down, but I think we can shoot them down.
Well, whatever makes you sleep better. That's what you go ahead and believe
we've been working. We've been working for 30 years on the technology of shooting those things down.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
It's that in the short range. What are they called? Is we gave the technology to Israel, and they're very good at shooting down a lot of the missiles.
Is it the Patriot? Is it called the Patriot missile? The one that shoots things?
No.
My wife would know. She's in the Air Force, and I don't know any of this.
Yeah, it's called like the Iron Dome or something like that.
That's right. Yeah, it sounds like it should have been made by Stark Enterprises. If you know, it's that kind of a name. The Iron Dome. I can't remember what it's called.
But those are very good at shooting them down. And I would like to think that we're also very good at shooting the long range. You got a half hour. You say you got a half hour to find it, focus on it, and shoot it down. I would like to think that
you would have faith in the system to do that much. I think it would too. I think they would. Here, there's something else about this that apparently their siren outside did not go off, so they had the issue. It was issued through the phones and stuff. Is that right? The nuclear warning siren system blares at 11:45 a.m. on the first business day of every month, followed by a 10-second pause and then a wailing attack warning signal for another 50 seconds. The emergency sirens didn't go off on Saturday.
Huh.
Had it been a real threat, they would have sounded. So they didn't have
It been a test. Saturday morning, isn't that when they always test? I mean, we have a Saturday morning test here.
Yeah, they supposedly test every 11:45 a.m. on the first business day of every month. Just the first business day of every month.
That's Hawaii. That's Hawaii.
That's how they do. So those sirens were not part of it.
It's Hawaii. The first business day in Hawaii. next week, man.
I don't know if you're in tourism. You're on top of that every day. First business.
Yeah, I look my best in my party dress and pretend I like the halftime show. Now I got a purpose, thank God for the Super Bowl.
And on the final segment of Rule of Three, it was an interesting night last night. First time since last year's Super Bowl that I actually thought I'd sit down and watch a bit of a football game.
You picked a good one.
Oh man, did I ever! And the reason being, I've been working in Minneapolis twice a year for the past 20 odd years, is that I've actually lived a year in Minneapolis at this point in my career. I have lived for a full year inside the city of Minneapolis. So I kind of have an emotional attachment to the city.
Oh yeah,
it's me kind too. Of a it's kind of a second home for me.
Yep, me too.
Because of that, the Super Bowl is happening in Minneapolis this year. That's kind of exciting. But yeah. What's also exciting, and this doesn't happen very often. If this was a sports talk show, I think somebody could give me the actual stat on this. But not very often that the team that is hosting the Super Bowl, the city that's hosting the Super Bowl, actually has a team in the Super Bowl.
I think it would be the first time ever. I think they said that.
Really?
Last
first
night.
Time ever?
That if yeah, wow. This would be the first time that a team hosting the Super Bowl would, if they can get to the Super Bowl. I mean, we're looking ahead, but.
And it's and here's a football stat I know. It is. And I only know it because of my joke, is that the last Super Bowl that Minneapolis, Minnesota, I don't know what, Minnesota, it was in, was Super Bowl 11.
Man, that was, and it was against the, Dolphins?
I have no idea.
I believe it was. It was against the Dolphins?
Here's how I know this. I gotta point out how I know this.
Yeah.
How do I know that? Yeah. Well, I have this joke. Is that the president of China? I don't know how to pronounce his name. It's spelt XI. I have no idea. Is it Chai? Chi? Chai? I have no idea how it's pronounced, but I know that his parents were Vikings fans because they named him after Minnesota's last Super Bowl. So that's one of those jokes. I've talked about this before, that I'm great at writing jokes that offends both sides of the aisle.
There you go. Yeah.
And that one right there, if you're the only people that would get that joke would be people in Minnesota. And they're not. They don't think it's funny.
They don't
that it's
think that's
been,
funny. No, they don't like
that. They haven't been there since Super Bowl 11.
Tragedy and the people, plus time, not comedy for them. You know what I mean?
And the people that don't care about football, that might know that, but don't really care about football, are mad because you're not supposed to make fun of Chinese names.
that's a lot of the people. That gets a lot of them.
So it does. So it's only funny to me.
Then keep telling it. Keep telling it. You could spend more time in Minneapolis if you just keep telling it.
So that I know. That's the last time they were there. So it's kind of a drought. Oh, they did. Oh, they also did not win. It's been kind of a drought
for Super Bowls. For Vikings, it's never fans. Rained. It's not. It's never. They've never had one. You can't call it a drought if it's. There's never been water there, ever. It's never had it. They've never, it's just when I first met my wife, it was 1998, and we had been going together maybe just a couple months, and we watched Minnesota lose to the Falcons at home in the NFC Championship. That was the last time, 98. And it was so heartbreaking.
Wow.
It was a missed field goal.
Wow, and that was like one of your first dates with the wife? Or
yeah,
we'd
been going together a couple months, so it was several dates in. We were on an Air Force base, actually. We were in Mountain Home Air Force Base at the officer's bar. We were the only ones there watching that disappointment.
Well, and this I think should be pointed out, too, is that your wife is from Wisconsin, isn't she?
She is. She's just over the border, though. So she's River Falls, Wisconsin, but it really is. She feels like she's attached to the Minneapolis metropolitan area.
Because the interesting thing about it, I could also see, though, if you live in Packers country.
Exactly.
I could see that really making you a fan of any other team but the Packers.
She does. No, she goes, you're right. It goes, there's always two games on the weekend that she'll try to watch. And if I'm around, I'll watch them too. See if the Vikings win so you feel the joy of victory. And watch the Packers lose. You have that special joy of Schadenfreude. You know what I mean? Which is what that is. That's all just delight in the anguish and despair of your enemy. And there's both, man. She loves it. Although I after last night, we've discovered it's more fun to win than to watch your enemy lose.
Sure. There's a comic here in Chicago. He lives on the south side of Chicago. Kevin Naughton, I think I can name him. And Zanies was having a hard time because the year the Cubs was in the world, were in the World Series.
Oh, wow.
And they were trying to figure out what they could do that week.
Oh, perfect. Anti-Cub shows.
Yeah, right. So that's sure. So that's what they were pitching.
Oh.
And
hate is really good. It's reliable. Hate works.
Oh yeah, so they approached Kevin. They said, "Do you think you could put together a show, and pitch it on the South Side as an anti-Cub show?" And he said, "No." He goes, "You don't understand the psychology." He said exactly what you said. If there's anything that the Sox fans love more than seeing the Sox win, is watching the Cubs lose.
So that.
Every single Sox fan is going to be glued to those games just as much as the Cubs fans.
Hoping they lose.
Hoping they lose.
Hate works, man. That's why you need matching politics in a marriage. It's not that you love the same solutions, you hate the same people. That's how, if you're really deep into politics, you better be deep the same side of the aisle. And again, it's, you won't love this. It's not that you love the same solutions, you hate the same people. And hate works, man. Schadenfreude and hate, it's powerful. Kelly and I were watching the celebration videos, though. There's a ton of them on YouTube. And it's just, it's joyful just watching people jump around, just losing it. Especially when you haven't. What's that old Dickinson poem? Success is counted sweetest by those who ne'er succeed. You know, it's amazing. Kelly was crying because we were losing. And then all of a sudden, just sheer joy.
Well, for anyone that didn't tune into the game, it looked like, you know, I just kind of looked at the score, and it was Minnesota up by 17. Am I right?
Yeah, at the half, up by 17.
Up by 17. So it's like, well, this is a done deal. I don't have to watch it, but I thought I would put it on in the background.
Yeah.
Son of a gun, if
it did not turn into something worth watching. The four lead changes in the last how many minutes? I believe it's four lead changes
in the last 2 minutes.
Crazy. And I was very nervous because Drew Brees and New Orleans, number two offense in the league. And Drew Brees is amazing. He's just amazing. And so I knew this is close. And as soon as Case Keenum threw the one interception, I thought, oh, that's not good. And then the block punt, And then when
it was like the same story over. Minnesota chokes in the last few minutes of the game, and so I saw that and I went, oh yeah, that's to be expected. Maybe next year.
Yeah.
And I wandered away, and then all of a sudden I heard cheering.
Yeah. Redemption.
It was just amazing that that field goal that put with 25 seconds left, Saints get a field goal and nothing. It was amazing. It's like, wow, did everyone leave the stadium?
But they were there being quiet. They were still there.
Yeah, it was like they had been punched in the gut. And I go, well, that's...
Because they had.
I go, that's it. That is it. That is like, oh, my gosh. Well, you idiots. You had a 17-point lead. All you had to do was run the clock. That's all you had to do.
There was one play when they kicked the field goal. They ran a pass play right before they kicked the field goal, which was incomplete and did hardly burned any time off the clock. And I kept turning to Kelly, why didn't they run? You know, if they would have ran that down, even if they don't get any yards, the clock runs, and then Drew Brees only has a minute. So I was just doing some horrible armchair quarterbacking, and then I'm glad no one heard me. You know, it's because they came around and won.
Oh my gosh!
So
with a 61 I didn't see it. I didn't see it live. It's because it was 25 seconds. In 25 seconds. Saints are up 25 seconds. I go, there's no way. Nothing ever happens. Let me guess what's happened. A Hail Mary pass. That's what's going to happen.
Your eyes. There's another Hail Mary, and he's going to. And all of a sudden, you hear that roar, and you think, oh, I should have maybe stayed glued at that.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it was. I was downstairs, and all of a sudden I hear a roar, and I said, well, okay, either Minnesota scored or somebody ran out on the field and murdered the Saints quarterback. One of two things.
That's in either case, Schadenfreude that can only produce that
so
kind of roar.
In either case, I had to go downstairs. And son of a gun. And I mean, they played it over and over, so it didn't really, I could pretend I was watching it live.
Yeah.
But just a 61-yard pass straight into the end zone. It just...
Crazy. Yeah, and then it's so much to it. It was a... Anyway, that's what I did. That was a great evening.
And
could have gone either way.
If you enjoy the show, why not go over to Facebook? We are a rule of three, rule of the numeral three podcast on Facebook. We're there. TimSlegel.com, at Tim Slegel on Twitter. Or if you want to know more about Bent,
BentWashburn.com. Just Bent Washburn on Facebook. If you spell BENGT and Google that, I'm like the third one down. Bent Holstrom passed me up because he got a Nobel Prize.
He's got something to aspire to.
That's right.
And that's all for this week. We'll see you next week.